Praise God. Amen. All right. So, proper recap now. So, yesterday we talked about the fact that prayer is primarily fellowship, but then prayer is not all about the fellowship. It is still fellowship. Within that fellowship, we do business with God. Within that fellowship, our needs could cry out, all right, to Him. Within that fellowship and that moment and that time, you understand that prayer also is you taking your place in the body of Christ and the family of God. You take your place. You assert your authority, all right? It's in you, carrying out God's business on the earth. You join forces with the Father. And I said also that it's in you living and walking in His presence. And I put a quote on that so that you'd understand, okay, so God's presence. Now we are always in the presence of God. We still do a teaching on the presence of God. I've come to know. Now, please, you could, if you don't, please do. If you haven't subscribed to my YouTube channel, please do. Yeah, but please visit it. There's a recent teaching there about God's presence, our source of victory. Just watch it. It's about 1 hour or slightly less than an hour teaching. It will bless you. So I talked about the three positional realities of God. Okay, so God with us, God for us, and then God in us. And in the New Testament, we have all three. In the Old Testament, they have two out of three. We have all three. Now, if God is with you alone, you would see the relevance, importance, the revelation of, oh, God is with me. God was with Joseph and he prospered. And then God is for you. Meaning, if God be for you, will be against you. And then greater is He that is in you. When you put those three positional realities together, the victory is just like super, super amazing. Thanks, Gabriel. So, I mean, that's the YouTube channel right there. And you could just enjoy as very many, many teachings as possible. The recent uploads are up there. And then there are quite some older teachings we've done, meetings, conferences, and all of that. Just seriously, all right? Just jump in and let these like super bless you so much. So it's just Lion Rex on us here. Please subscribe if you do not mind subscribing. And then share when a video blesses you. Just help share with somebody. I mean, let it bless that person too. But right in here, you'll see the teaching I just made reference to. There's this one showing up that might just, if you don't mind, we'll drop it in the email going out to you. Five important things to do with your faith. I've taught it a couple of times, but I'm happy that I was able to teach it in a church in Abuja last year. So it's record, it's on video. I think I have audio, but this now is video. You could watch it. I covered five very important things you do with your faith. Okay, so listen, it's all there. It's free. You could go to the website also, get a lot of audio messages. My point is, there's so much being taught and that we could learn a whole lot from and just get it. So there's a fellowship dimension of prayer, and we've not scratched it. We just that we're not teaching fellowship alone. We're dealing with, praying and praying effectively. We're dealing with the things you and I need to know. What are those things? And we began talking about hindrances to the effectiveness of prayer. And that's what we're dealing with. Foundation. We need to lay the foundation. It's not, oh, I pray. People are tired of praying, or some just go through the motion of prayer. Well, they said I should pray. Let me keep praying and not getting tired. But then we could pray, 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 and we're not hitting the results. And you could sit back. I believe if you're trying to get out of a house and then you keep hitting the brick wall, it means that you've not found a door. There is a door somewhere. Now, if I find a door and then it's tough and I'm trying to squeeze my way through to bust it open, and I need now, because I know I found a door, I need to be persistent in my application and all of that. Great. But some other times we're just hitting the wall. We've not found a door. So we do need to find a door so that we move on. And we said the first very important hindrance to prayer is a lack of knowledge. All right. My people are destroyed because they don't know. And then that First John, really very important verse of in the Bible, First John and the 5th chapter, the 14th verse, 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So you have to ask according to the will of God. How do you know the will of God? You have to go to the Word of God to know the will of God. Now, there are certain things about the will of God. For instance, get up and go down to the bus stop or something is not in the Bible. I know that. Okay, but then the fact that you'll be led by the Spirit is in the Bible. So if what you're praying about is the leading of the Spirit, it's there. That you have clarity and guidance and all of that, the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. It's all in the Bible. So that's covered. And then from there, the Holy Ghost takes it on. But your anchor is what is written. It's really not a safe ground when you don't know what is written. Please, I want to encourage you. Find what is written, all right? There's a scripture that covers your case. Find it, and then you will see that that will bless you a whole lot. We talked yesterday also about the fact that many don't have because we don't ask. I mean, it's amazing, but I've experienced it before. I've experienced it a couple of times. Just realize that you're hoping and then you're wishing, but you aren't praying. You're hoping, wishing, but you've not prayed about it. And I gave you an instance yesterday when the Lord had asked me, are you expecting this thing to happen? I said, yeah, sure. I'm like, did you pray about it? When he's asking, he's pointing something out. So I definitely had not prayed about it. And he was calling my attention to the fact that you've not prayed about this thing. You've not released your faith. So, and James, you know, lets us know right there in the fourth chapter. Let's see that James chapter 4 from verse 2 again and just, you know, build it up. We stopped, obviously, at the place of casting our cares, place of care and worry, because these things do disturb our faith. You know, so Bible says here, you lust and you have not. You kill and you desire. And I want you to notice the text here. You kill and you desire, yet you cannot obtain. You fight, you war. You don't have because you did not ask. Let's move to TPT on this verse. It's, you know, please don't gloss over this. I had to learn this. I had to realize there is asking. Now, I said yesterday there's a place of meditation, and I have. Listen, I have used meditation to get stuff that, and I didn't pray about it. So these are like separate laws, all right? And that's why yesterday we took out some time to talk about the command of faith, all right? And then the prayer of faith. Mark 11:23 is separate from Mark 11:24. But the same thing would apply. Many times we wish and hope for something, but you are yet to release your faith about it. You're yet to lay a demand, spiritually speaking. You're yet to make a command. You know, either where the devil is concerned to take his hands off your health, your finances, you know, a family member's, you know, mind, you know, maybe the devil is just messing up the person. I mean, you're not taking authority. We spend more time complaining and worrying, but we're not exercising our faith. So I need you, maybe if you can, take a minute right now. The big things on your mind right now, sincerely, have you released your faith? Whether in words of command, all right, like speak to the mountain, Mark 11:23, or in the prayer of faith, have you sincerely released your faith? Can you answer in the affirmative and say, yes, I have released my faith? Okay, stop wishing, stop hoping. Did you get that? Let's see that verse now, please. The TPT. James chapter 4, verse 2. Yeah. You jealously want what others have. I mean, this is really like beautiful English. I mean, beautiful rendition, if I'd say. You know, you jealously want what others have. So you begin to see yourself as, you know, better than others. You scheme with envy and harm others to selfishly obtain what you crave. Now, everybody might not have gone this far, but then some things apply. You want something. You desire something. So get the core, you know, of it. You know, it says, that's why you quarrel and fight. And all the time you didn't obtain what you want because you won't ask God for it. You have not, regular King James says, because you didn't ask. All right. So this is a hindrance to prayer. We have desires that are not properly channeled. We have desires that are not properly, okay, released in faith to God our Father. We have such. All right. So we need to understand how these things work. We need to understand how these hindrances, you know, limit us. Okay, we need to understand that. But let's see now the next verse there of that James chapter 4. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, watch this. It says, and if you ask, you won't receive it, for you are asking with corrupt motives, seeking only to fulfill your own selfish desires. Do you understand that? So you're seeking only, you know, to fulfill it. So these are sometimes hindrances. So you wonder, sometimes we'll say, okay, maybe that's why I'm gonna get what I want. You know, no, let's run through every possible hindrance before you try to come on this one. Because if what you want is genuine, what you might be lacking is the patience, you know, and all of the things required to pull in what you want. Okay. So you and I have to go for it. So, but this is you not asking, and then you're hoping and desiring. Mark 11, 24. Again, please, we looked at it last week, but let's look at it again today. It's great to desire. I mean, did I say last week? Yesterday. It's great to desire, but not enough to just desire. And please, we're laying foundation. Let's just take the time to lay that foundation. A whole lot, you know, we have a whole lot on our table more than, you know, today's episode can cover. But I still don't rush because everybody I'm talking to are not, everyone is not on the same level. Therefore, I say to you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So what we want is step one and then number four. We want to desire and we want to have them. But Bible says you desire them, then you pray. So many of us skip, you know, we do well. We tick properly step one. Then we go to step two, we pray. But step three, we miss it. Believe you receive. So once again, ask yourself, this thing I say I have prayed about, do I believe I have received it? So a hindrance to prayer is assuming you've prayed when you haven't, assuming we assume that we've received it when we really didn't lay hold of it. And I said yesterday, to receive there means to take it. To receive there means to take it. Don't leave the place of prayer without taking it. Did you get that? Don't leave it without taking it. You take it, and this is a prayer of faith, also referred to as a prayer petition. You don't leave the place of prayer without taking it. All right. So, yeah, there's a comment on meditation is actually prayer. Yes, I completely understand the form of meditation as prayer. So when you teach many types of prayer, usually some won't add meditation to it because it's not like request. So that was a context with which I was speaking. But under the concept, the context of fellowshipping with God, yes. Because when you chew the word and you speak the word is Jesus. Jesus is the word. So it's you communing with God. So yes, it is a type of prayer. But usually when people list, I'm talking to the Father in the name of Jesus, meditation might not come on that list as a type, but yes, it is a communion and a fellowship with the Spirit and with Jesus Christ. So yes. Now, so I'm saying that we need to get these things. These things hinder us. So once again, ask yourself, that thing I said I believe, have I taken it? Is it mine? Is it mine? Do I have it? Ask yourself, do I have it? If there's a level of uncertainty deep within you, it might mean you need to go back to scripture and settle a lot of things in your heart. Did you get that? Did you get that, please? You settle a lot of things in your heart. 1 John chapter 4, 5 and 14, again, please. 1 John 5 and 14. I want to show you, you know, just the first few words right there. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Because John used a word and then, you know, that word for me just flies, all right? In 1 John 5 and 14, he says, and this is the confidence. This is the confidence. So, of course, if we ask according to his will. So when you know this is his will, it should produce confidence in you. If you are not confident, please go back and settle that will. Go back to the word. Go back again and stay with it. Stay with it. Listen, guys, faith comes by hearing. So it's not enough to read a verse or two. You sometimes it doesn't, you know, give birth to that, you know, amount, let me say, of faith. You need to hold on to the thing. Usually it's not whether God can give us a thing or not, is can we receive it? Can we receive it? It's not, I didn't have it because God didn't give it to me. Trust me, that's a wonderful escape. It's just wonderful. I didn't have it, God didn't give it to me. But when we begin to realize that I didn't have it because I didn't do what I needed to do about it, you realize, oh, it's more on me. It's more on me. You are the key factor, all right, in this whole process. Mark 11:24. And then, you know, let's read 23 and read 24, and then we'll go to John. All right, Mark 11:23. Please note, guys, please note the number of times you might appear in this whole thing. All right. So whether directly or inferred, but watch this. Verily, verily, I say unto you that whosoever, all right, that's you, right? You, anybody, whosoever in this context, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, right? And shall not doubt. So this in 23 is inferred. 24 is clearer, but I still want you to see it. All right. So who is supposed to say to the mountain? Whoever wants the mountain to move. Please, I want you to get this. All right. I know we could sing, you made the way. And then we get to, you move mountains, you cause walls to fall. Yes, he does. But if you remember in the case of Jericho, he told them to shout and the wall will fall. So they had to do the shouting for the wall to do the falling. Are you understanding this? And so we're seeing, you cause walls to fall, you move mountains. He still told them, okay, that he told us here, yeah, you speak to the mountain. So I want you to see our responsibility here, please. Whosoever shall say to this mountain. So who? You. All right. You. Whosoever means anybody. So in our case, whosoever means me. All right. Whosoever shall say to the mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall, that whosoever, you, me, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall, you, me, you know, believe that the thing he says will come to pass. He, you, me, shall have whatever he says. Did you get that, please? Should we do it again? Did you get it? All right. For whosoever you shall say, when you say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and you do not doubt in your heart, but you, all right. Do you understand this, please? Do you get it? You know, do not doubt in your heart, all right? But then you believe that the thing you say, so you are to believe the thing you say will come to pass. You are to believe the thing you say will come to pass. You are the one not to doubt in your heart. I want you to please, please see the responsibility right here. Please see it. You are to say to the mountain, you are not to doubt in your heart. You are to believe the thing you say will come to pass. You will have whatever you say. Let's move. 24. I need us to see the responsibility. You are the understated subject. You're the subject here. All right. Therefore, 24, I say to you. Now watch this. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have. So it's clearer here. You appearing here four times. It's inferred in 23, but it's there. I believe you saw it. But then it's right here in 24. What thing soever you, your name, call your name, me, what I desire, right? When you pray, did you get that? So if there's no confidence in the place of prayer, settle the confidence. Prayer rests a lot on confidence. I can't overemphasize this. Prayer requires confidence. Prayer requires you believing. So that's why I borrowed, you know, I had to take us to 1 John 5, where he said, this is the confidence. You leave that place taking something. You leave that place knowing something. You leave that place believing something. You leave that place receiving something. We could rush this all off, but then I need to be sure that someone out there, my brother, my sister, is understanding this. God, it's not shadow boxing. It's not us beating the air. Prayer requires precision. It's not going through the motions. People are tired of praying. And then they pray, they didn't get the result. All right? But when we understand that the responsibility is on us, the onus is on us. And that's what we began yesterday by saying prayer needs to be taught. The disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. They watched him pray, but then they saw the results of his prayer life. They saw him pray, they saw the result. So he wasn't going through the motion. It wasn't just morning devotion that was powerless. They saw life. They saw a flow. They saw power. Do you understand? They couldn't cast out demons. They had to ask, why couldn't we? He taught them. All right? They would ask questions. He would explain to them. These things need to be explained. These things have got to be explained. All right? So once again, Mark 11, 24. All right? If you, whatever you desire, when you pray, all right, you believe you receive and you shall have. All right, so I desire, I pray, I believe I receive it. Did you get that? I believe I receive it and I shall have it. Shall means shall, all right? It means it could be tomorrow, next, but the key to shall is believe you receive. So it means you take it, spiritually speaking, and then the thing finds its way to you. Might take a couple of days, a couple of weeks, it will find its way to you. So because people don't understand this also, patience is not brought in. And that's another hindrance to prayer, lack of patience. Did you understand that? Lack of patience. But I would like to be done with this and then I'll show you that. But please, I want you to see it here. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you have received it. Do you have your baby? Do you have your baby? Do you have your job? Do you have? Now, yes, we must. Is it possible to say, I want to get a job in XYZ company? Yes, very possible. All things are possible to him that believes. However, I would love to encourage you to check your heart and check whatever direction the Spirit is moving you. I needed to do my internship a couple of years back. And then I wanted a place, but the Holy Ghost was leading me somewhere else. I wanted that place. I was going to use my faith. I was using my faith for that place until I yielded to the will of God. Okay. And then I went the way he would have me go. You need to understand. So there's a checking of your heart. And then once you check your heart, you and the Holy Ghost in agreement on that matter, go for it. Did you get that, please? Go for it. Go for it. Go for it. So I'm saying, believe you receive. You shall have. So do you have your baby? Do you have your job? Do you have your spouse? I didn't ask if you have Linda. I didn't ask if you have, David. I just said, do you have your spouse? Spouse. I believe I receive. I believe I receive my spouse. I believe I receive my spouse. All right. You don't claim a person. You don't use your will to override another person's will. God didn't do that to us. God isn't doing that to us. He'd love all of us to pray and talk to him every day, but then we don't, and he doesn't override our will to get that done. He'd love people to get born again, all right? And he's not overriding their will to get that done. So you don't override someone's will and say, hey, it must be you. I confess you. I claim you. You're my wife. You're my husband. And all of that. You also don't covet what belongs to somebody else, all right? You see someone with a nice phone or a nice car or a nice laptop or a nice tab, and then you want that one. And then your faith is after that person should hear from God to give that thing to you. No, God is your source. God is your source. And God is your only source. Did you get that? God is your source. All other things and people, they are channels. So you do not put your faith and say, no, it must be this one or this particular phone, this particular laptop, this particular car. I want that one. She must hear from the Spirit of God. He must hear. If they are not responding, they are deaf and dumb to the Spirit of God. And all of that. Come on. Then you're coveting, like James said. James said, you're coveting and wanting what someone else has. That's not prayer. That's not ideal. That's not spirituality. Please understand that, all right? So you believe you have received. you believe you have received. So you walk away from there. I'm dealing with right now, please notice, confidence. Confidence. Many pray and then they go, I just hope something happens. You know, it's called a Hail Mary, where you just pray prayer in and just hope for something. You know, it's a Hail Mary. Just train one Hail Mary there. And just you just hope. I just hope and pray that, you know, this thing works. No. All right, let's see that. You know, so no. So you have to understand how this thing works. You need to be confident. You need to be confident. I beg you. Now, let's go to John. John chapter 15 and the 7th verse, please. John 15, 7. So that you see again right there that you are the subject. You are the you are the key person. We could trade on God and say, well, God didn't hear me. God didn't answer. You know, God didn't hear me and answer me and all that. So John 15, verse 5. All right. Yeah. So when it comes to, you know, commanding the mountain, can you, oh, if you need to, if you have to, you know, so in the name of Jesus' body, I declare you're healed, you're healed, you're healed. And then you say that like a million times in a day. Please go ahead. I keep saying, body, you're healed. Limbs, you're working fine. Nerves, you're responding well. You're speaking life again and again and again. Yes. Are there instances where you just know, say it once and walk away? Yes. Are there times you're not, you know, but the thing is this. The more you speak to the mountain, I'll say it this way. The mountain knows who is serious when the person is talking. I hope you got that. The mountain knows. Listen. The clause there is not just, it's not to speak to the mountain. It's to believe in your heart that the thing you say will come to pass. So if I'm saying you go in Jesus' name. But if the more I say this, it's not going. Let me say it again. It's not going. Let me say it again. But if I'm doing, you go in Jesus' name. I'm going to keep saying that. I'm going to keep saying, I don't want to say that. So it's you saying it. Is your heart clear on, I'm not saying it because it's still there. Say it again. It's still there. Say it again. It's still there. It's not going. Oh, no, no, no. This is bulldog faith. I'm going to maintain my ground till every inch. So they might seem similar, but they are not the same. All right. Pain in the name of Jesus, you're gone. You're gone. And then 4 or 5 minutes later, the thing is back. Pain, I said you're gone. So me, I'm reminding you that you're gone. 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 How do you know the difference? Sincerely, I like to tell people, just flow the Holy Ghost. All right. There are instances where I know there's an issue and I say, I am not praying about this. I mean, there's a dear minister of gospel, very popular. All right. He came back from a trip and his wife had been to the hospital. There was miscarriage, was confirmed. And then he came home and she said, hey, I went to the hospital. Doctor says it's a miscarriage. And he says, please get me my food. All right. Now that would be very sensitive as far as any woman might be concerned. Anybody really might be concerned. Even if his friends were there, assuming they would have said, how could you have talked to, you know, but he knew what he was fighting, right? Eventually, the same thing that they said was miscarried, the baby remained there, but it was confirmed as a miscarriage, but give me my food, you know? And he said, he told the devil, I will not pray about this. So question really, you know what? Let's see the next verse. You get some answers from there. I trust this is helping us. Verse 7, please. So I want you to notice that in Mark 11:23, Mark 11:24, and now John 15:7, there is an emphasis on you when it comes to the answering to your prayers or answers to prayers. You, watch this. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you. Watch that. If you abide in me, you one, and my words abide in you two, and then you three shall ask what you desire and it will be done for you. 5 right here in the New King James Version. 5 times. You. Prayer needs to be taught. Prayer needs to be taught. We could pray. We could just, you know, pray, you know, and pray. Oh, let's pray for something right now. All of us pray in the spirit of pray. It happens, it does happen. It doesn't have a direct impact on you. But this is you. This is your life now. If the answer comes or it doesn't come, it has a very direct impact on your life. And God would love that we go from victory to victory. I repeat, I said it earlier, I need to say it again. God doesn't want us going through the motions of prayer. He wants you to pray and get an answer. All right, well, in John 15, now the 16th verse of John 15. All right, John 15, 16. It's just important. We've seen the fact that you are the understated subject here. Now you need to see that God, he doesn't want you just, you know, shooting blanks. He wants you to ask. And then he wants you to be happy. When you say, oh, guess what? I prayed about that stuff and it's here. Guess what? And then you see the effect of prayer. All right, John 15 and then the 16th verse. Thank you. You did not choose me, all right? But I chose you and appointed you that you should go forth and bear forth fruit and that your fruit will remain and whatever you ask in my Father, he may give to you, okay? So I want you to ask. And then he says, whatever you ask, he will give. So prayer is you ask and then, but there is a giving, meaning you ask and then you receive it. Let's see what the 17th verse says. You know, it's just, you know, quite interesting. Whatever you ask my Father. Okay, no. Something else was on my mind. Just stay on 16. Thank you. So whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give. So he wants you to pray, but then he's not blanket prayer. Specific prayer, and then at the end of the day, you get the result of what you want. You ask, it is given. Hope this is clear. So please understand that you is the understated subject. You are the very clear person here. I could say, well, I'm talking to God about it, and God is not hearing. God says, no, that's not me. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, the Father says, I will give it to you. So we've touched the place of confidence. All right. But together with confidence, no, let me not mix it up. We're going to patience. But we've said confidence. A lack of confidence affects your prayer. There are two things about it here. And one is sin consciousness, and then one is self-righteousness. We'll come there in a minute. But then there's just that you're not settled in your heart yet that you will get this thing. I beg you. Take more time to meditate on scripture. Ken Hagin will teach and say many times before he prays about something, he takes 2 or 3 days to meditate on it. Kenneth Hagin will do that. We would like to just jump in with all the guns and shoot. And we end up many times shooting out blanks. Ken Hagin said he would take 2 or 3 days. In fact, he said he could quote many of the verses, but he would rather still, and that it helps to go and read the verses again. Read the verses again. Do you understand this? Because if you abide in me and my word abides in you, not my word just passed by your memory or flew out of your lips. No, so many times we're not confident. The word of God concerning baby should be real to you more than any other thing about you. You have to build that confidence from the word of God. The word of God concerns the kind of job you want, the kind of life. There are pictures all over the Bible that describe the life you want to have. Houses filled with good things. Deuteronomy talks about it. Ooh, I'm sure we all want that kind of house. Filled with all good things. All right? Lands. It's all in the Bible. What do you want? What things ever you desire? Do you find a verse? And there's a verse that covers your case. But then settle it in your heart. Most of these things don't come as emergencies. All right? They become emergencies. For instance, maybe you need to pay a bill in 3 months' time. You had 3, 4, 5 days this month to meditate on supply, on I will not lack. You had 3, 4, 5 days. Usually, what do we do? It's 3 months' time. I would, you know, just jimmy my faith. You know, Jimmy, you know, in the lamp. And then, I mean, genie, right? I just rub the lamp and then the genie comes out and, you know, your wish is my command, master. Well, that's Hollywood, guys. That's Hollywood. You and I have to understand that there is time. But then we don't meditate like we should right now. You know, we don't do the things we need to do right now. And we let it chill. And 1 month is gone, 2 months gone. Now it's 3 weeks to when we need to pay the bill. Your heart is already, you know, pounding and time is looking like it's closed. Then it's like 1 week to the time to pay the bill. option A, option B, and then, oh my goodness, oh my God. I've been there too, so I can explain to you. But these things don't begin by just knocking us in the head, like just show up from our blind sides. We saw. Now, this is February. You have desires of certain things want to happen before the end of 2022. Find scripture. I'm dealing with confidence, but I'm already entering also the topic of effective prayer. But I won't enter that too much. Confidence, the reason why many are not confident. They are not settled in their heart what the word has said. And settling your heart is not, I found one verse. So just Google verses on power and just copy it out. Father, thank you because your word said, Father, no, come on. You don't even know that the word said. Just Googled it, found it, or searched your Bible. You found it. And here, so Father, the word said, oh, see, I've seen it. The word, come on. You would abide in me and my words would abide in you. Settle it in. My words abide in you. My words abide in you. My words, you settle it in. Settle it in. Settle it in. Do you understand that? Settle it in. He now says, then you will ask what you will. We like to ask without the word abiding in us. All right? The psalmist said, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. So the word doesn't have a problem in heaven. It's settled. But God now wants the word to be settled in your heart. Settled in your heart. So prayer has to be taught. The name of Jesus has to be taught. I mean, there's a dear minister also, you know, was traveling with his wife. They got to a particular bridge, was narrow. Another truck was oncoming, was going to knock them off. And the woman screamed, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the man had the time to tell her right there, woman, once was enough. That would have been said out of a revelation of that name is too powerful that you had to call it three times. One time was enough. But we don't know if he's, we don't know, you know, so because we go through the motions of prayer. So that's, you know, now let's talk about the place of patience. Okay. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. Many people do not receive answers to prayer because they release their faith, but they were not in the place of patience. But please, if you're making notes and then if you could draw on your notes and all, draw that line from Mark 11, 24. To Hebrews that we're going around, because right now I'm sure you must have written a whole lot of other things. Okay. Mark 11 23 say, well, things ever you desire when you pray, believe you receive and you shall have. Shall could be a couple of days, shall could be a couple of weeks, but you're going to get it. Watch it. Yeah. Thank you. So believe you receive them and you shall. It is definite. You're going to get it, but you have to believe you receive it. Then you're going to get it. Okay. So now that Hebrews 6 and 12. So I want you to see this. That you be not slothful, but followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Did you get that now? He says, don't be slothful, but be followers of those who through faith and also patience. So there's the faith, but then there's, you know, we've learned faith, but then we need to learn patience. Patience here isn't fold your hands and just go, oh, you know, whatever will be, you know. No. Patience is a consistent application of your faith. Is that I'm going to go move. I'm staying here till I get what I ask for. I'm standing till I receive it. So yes, stand. So it's patience. It's not sloppy. So because notice that don't be slothful. So the patience there is not slothfulness. It's not let it go, just idle by. That's not the patience. He said, you already cleared it. Don't be slothful, but follow those who through faith and also patience inherit the promise. Now, I want you to see very, very, very interesting here is Hebrews 10 and then the 35th verse. Hebrews 10, 35. Beautiful, beautifully rendered. Beautifully rendered. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Don't forget. When confidence is missing, prayer is affected because you're not bold enough to be sure you got anything. And you stay there till you get something. Stay in the word till you get something. Pray in the spirit till you lay hold on something. Don't go through the motions, I beg you. And if it's just a command of faith, do it like Mark 11, 23 said. Believe in your heart, doubt not. It must be said. It must be said. Cast not away therefore your confidence, because your confidence has a great reward. Many people, You know, and I've heard more than one preacher talk about this, that you release your faith and then you thought the thing didn't come, then you abandoned it. Maybe the date had passed. And then you left it. You know, there was a particular kind of car that I liked. All right. And oh, I like this car, I believe God for it and all that. That car showed up in my life like many years later. I'm like, what? I like this car very well at the time. Here it is now. Here it is now. Fact, that happened to like two different cars. All right. Well, about two different cars, you know. So hey, because at the end of the day, yeah, it didn't meet the end of the month, but then you sent your faith out. Faith cannot return. Oh dear. Faith cannot return. Let me be sure about that. Is it Luke 17 now? I want to show you something. Yes. Luke 17. I'll be back here. I want to show you something. Verse 6 of Luke 17. Luke 17, 6. Then he said to his disciples, yeah, 17:6. Yeah, thank you. And the Lord said, if you have faith, watch this, as a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this sycamine tree, be plucked up by the root, be planted into the sea, it should obey you. Notice again, you said to the tree, specific thing. You said, be plucked up, be planted into the sea. Specific instruction. Sickness, leave my body. Tumor, be uprooted. You die. You specific things, specific instruction. Please don't forget this. Specific instruction. Not yet today, you're my wife. You know, not that, not a person. It's you're talking to a tree or whatever it is. Jesus spoke to the storm. Peace, be still. Specific. He knew he was talking to the storm. So don't just throw clear. Next verse, please. Verse 7. Now I want you to follow this. Very interesting. But which of you having a servant? He just taught them faith. Speak to the mountain. Or in this case, speak to the sycamine tree. Verse 6. Now he's telling them, which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by when he's come in from the field, go sit down to eat meat? Which of you having a servant will now say, hey, you're back? All right, go and eat. Verse 8. Will you not, verse 8 now, and will you not rather say to him, now he just came back from the field, make ready whatever I may eat and get yourself and serve me till I have eaten and I've drunken, and afterward, then you can what? Do whatever you want. Now, verse 9, there's something he's driving at here if we stay in context. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I don't think so, Jesus says. So likewise, you know, now, so this is what people now bring out and begin to teach on profitable servants. And I want you to see verse 10 here, so I don't want to shy away from it. So likewise, you, when you have done all the things which you were commanded, you say we're unprofitable servants and we have done the thing that, you know, you asked us to do as our duty, but hold on. This whole thing was a teaching on faith. We just bring unprofitable servant there, but he was making a point. The key here is use your faith as a servant. I don't know if anybody's getting that. You send faith. You speak to the mountain. You speak to the tree in this case. And then it does that. Then you send it on something else again. Which of you now say to your servant, well, you know, so we get lost on verse 10, but if you just stay in 7 and 8 and 9, he was still talking about how you relate with the servant. He goes, he comes back, you don't say, well, go and eat. No, get me something else. Then he's back, get me something else. Then get me, if you want a rest servant, let me get all the things I want to get. So your faith is ready for your command. Your faith is your servant at your use in the sense of the word. Send it out. Send it to get you something. So the point I'm making with patience on this is, so you released your faith for something. And then it hasn't come yet. Your faith is that type of servant that doesn't come back without the mission being accomplished. Isaiah 55, 11. You know, so we, you know, because it falls within context. Verse 10 now makes it go, so likewise you, you know, when we're done, say, God, you know, I'm an unprofitable servant. I'm just doing what you sent me to do. But then he just taught them faith. I mean, yeah, I could tell my daddy, I mean, oh, come on, Dad. I just did the things you asked me to do. That's not a problem for me. But the context, which one of you say to your servant? But which one of you? And he was talked on forgiveness. He talked on, you know, and they asked him about faith, increase our faith. And I said, no, use your faith. Use your faith. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that go forth out of my mouth. It will not return to me void. And God is speaking here. We borrow it, but God is speaking here. It will not return to me void. It will accomplish whatever I please. It will prosper wherever I send it. So when faith is sent, it doesn't return empty. When faith is sent, it doesn't return empty. Hebrews, you know, back again to Hebrews chapter 10. And then verse 35, that we were. Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away, therefore. Haven't understood this, please. Don't throw your confidence away. If you're shaky, go back to the word. Settle yourself in the word. Your faith never returns empty. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Now, verse 36, very, very beautiful verse. 36, please. All right. For watch this. Because you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You have need of patience. You need patience after you have done the will of God. So what's the will of God? I release my faith. I believe I receive. I've done all he asked me to do. What do I need now? Patience. 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 Many throw away the thing they asked for all because of a lack of patience. And I said that patience is that steady application that you're applying that force of faith. You're applying your faith pressure. I will not lack that thing. I'm not lacking nothing. I am not lacking nothing. That thing is mine. I believe I receive it. That thing is mine. I believe I receive it. It's looking impossible. That thing is mine. I believe I receive it. God, if there's any wisdom I need on this matter, I receive that wisdom because this thing is mine. So see how I'm connecting wisdom there, because you need wisdom to know, okay, what step do I take to really get this thing? But you're not throwing off your hands from that pressure. Obviously, it's mine. This thing is there. This is mine. I believe I receive it. I believe I receive it. I receive every wisdom needed. I receive every insight required. This thing right here is mine. Do you understand that? So we're learning hindrances to prayer. The things that hinder prayer. So we're going to go to James now, all right, where we see a bit of what I just said now in better application. So James chapter 1, verse 2. James 1 and then verse 2. You see that for me to be effective in prayer, certain things come into play. Certain things come into play. All right, let me say ahead, and that might be good news for some of you already. Our next word up is definitely on prayer. Okay, so we're laying foundation, then we need to start building. How do we have effective prayer? James 1 and 2. Thank you, Lord Jesus. James 1 and 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Temptation here will be trials and tests. Trials and tests. NIV. Let's do NIV. All right, thank you. Let's do NIV. And then just see that these are trials. These are challenges, all right? So NIV 2011, all right. Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials, okay? So these are challenges. So King James is what? Temptations, but it's things attacking and, you know, conflicting with your faith, all right? They're trials. So he says, but watch this now. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials. So it means there's a joy level or there is a need for joy in effective prayer life. We saw a bit of that yesterday. We ended, I didn't forget, in Philippians. We're going to go to Peter, and then we'll connect this again later. So no problem there, so I won't spend too much time on it. But there's need for the state of your heart to be at best worry-free. Be anxious for nothing, the Bible said. So when anxiety is trying to get a grip on you, consider it pure joy. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Because many people pray and then they worry all in the same breath. You create a hindrance to your prayer. Oh, but God still answers me that way. He loves you. All right. And I learned many years ago, God many times answers us in spite of our praying. So many times we don't even know what worked or what didn't work. We prayed anyhow, we got an answer. But prayer needs to be taught. We could go back to New King James now, and then we'll continue from the third verse. You know, so James 1, all right, so verse 3 and in the New King James, so that we see how these things work. He said, knowing this, the trying of your faith, all right, the testing of your faith produces patience. So patience, patience, patience still come here. So we saw joy is needed, patience is needed. I release my faith, I believe is mine now. Many of my examples are within the context of the prayer of faith. But now, when it has to do with the prayer of supplication and then the prayer of intercession, you need a whole lot of patience also, because many of these things take weeks and months and sometimes years. And then you're praying the same thing again and again and again and again and again. But what keeps you in that place of prayer? What keeps you praying on that same matter is the assurance you have from God's word. It's the assurance you have from the word of God. And then you stay on the matter. You're going nowhere. Okay? All right. So let's see the fourth verse now, please. So the testing of faith produces patience. Now verse 4. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that you and I must, I want us to read the place of wisdom. Verse 4, please. James 1 and 4. Thank you. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, one thing, nothing. You know, a preacher said many years ago, you know, that someone was praying, oh God, give me patience and give me right now. It doesn't work like that. Something might come your way that you need to exercise or exert, you know, patience on or with. And then you develop the character of patience. But let patience, so many, be, and I said something about growth yesterday, growth versus goals. Many of us are amassing wealth, getting prayers answered, getting things done, but we're not changing. We're not maturing. Our Christian character is not developing. So the same impatient person you were, the same impatient person you are, he said, no, but when you allow patience of his perfect work, you become perfect, entire, perfect, complete, lacking nothing, because you are now resting more on the word of God. Circumstances are not moving you as much, but don't forget again, abide in me, my word abides in you. Verse 5. Thank you, Lord. If any of you lacks wisdom, now there's an argument on that. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says, Christ has made unto us wisdom, so I don't lack it. It's in my spirit, but it's not in my head. But there's a need for us to know what to do. So I'm not coming to that conversation right now. But you need wisdom on. So I release my faith, and this is it for me. Many times we teach James 1, 5, like a separate topic, but I say no. So your faith is under trial, if you follow from verse 2. Put joy in it. You don't know why. You don't know how. A whole lot of things are coming at you. Maintain your joy. Maintain your patience, consistently applying the word of God as best as you know. So, you know, so we see joy in verse 2, patience, verse 3, patience in verse 4. Then we get to verse 5. It now says wisdom. It looks disconnected, but then many years ago, I saw, no, it's not. When the Lord showed me this thing is connected, how? I could be patiently applying my faith, but I am not understanding wisdom about it. Did you get that? I could be patient. I believe I receive. I believe I receive. I believe I receive. A new job, new job, new job, new job. And then the Lord might have that. The answer to that prayer is I send my resume to a company I sent it to before. I have sent it there before. For some reason, the Lord might, just an example now, want it to be back on top of the HR person's view. I'd sent it. Maybe for some reason, they didn't pick me. They picked some other people, but something happened yesterday. And then I'm praying to apply again. Wisdom. And don't forget, wisdom is direction. If any of you lack wisdom, so there's need for wisdom. My faith is out. And that's why sometimes you hear me use examples and I say, Lord, if there's anything I need to know on this matter, any insight I need to gain on this matter. Wisdom. You might want a new car. Thank you, Father. I have this car. I have this car and it's XYZ amount of money. I want this car. I want this car. And then you're talking with someone, you also mention that you want a new car or you want to get a car. Oh, I didn't know. I have this other friend who's trying to travel and then he just wants to sell off his car. Do you want to check it out? Also, it could be anything. And then the amount you would have spent, you spend less, you get the same thing or a better quality of what you wanted. Oh, he just bought his car 3 months now, but you know, got a different job in another place and he wants to blah, blah, blah. It could be anything. There is the wisdom of God. There is the wisdom of God. And the wisdom, this is how I see it. Faith is the power of God. Faith says, I receive, it's mine. But wisdom gives faith the direction with which to go about it. So scripture already had said that your king will come riding on a colt. It's stated in scripture, he will come on a donkey. Jesus knew the scripture. Now it's time for that to be fulfilled. He could have just said, I receive, Father, angels, go and get me the donkey. It's time to fulfill scripture. But wisdom demanded that he send 12 of his men into the city. They will see the colt tied, untied. Owners will come and ask why. They say, answer by the Lord has need of it. They will let you go. So wisdom now channels. Did you get that? Wisdom gives the direction to the answer you need. I'm going to give this example. And someone needs that. There's pain in your body. You believe you're healed. You believe you're healed. You believe you're healed. Now there's a word of knowledge in a meeting, in a church service, in your church. There's someone here. It's pain at the right. Pain here. Pain there. Pain there. All right. The Lord would have me lay hands on you. It wasn't. Is different from a random, if you have any sickness in your body, come out. Now, if I believe I am healed, question is, do I go out? Do I not go out? Do I go out? Do I not go out? There's a level to which I believe I'm healed and I don't need to go out. But then I could believe I'm healed and step out as a point of contact, saying I believe I'm healed. I say, as they lay hands on me, I enjoy, you know, the full expression of the healing I believe I have received. Because an announcement was made. If you're here, you have a pain in your body, please come and let's join faith with you. And then you stepped out. I believe I'm healed. So as hands are laid on me, pain your desire, your prayer finally. Someone could apply that as a level of faith. But this is not what I'm saying. I'm saying now there's a word of knowledge. And your case specifically was described. So I said, why then should I go out? Listen, you released your faith. Wisdom now sent a gift of the Spirit to, do you understand, to add to the thing. And then, so God brought your healed in Christ. Please understand how I'm trying to phrase it. So God sends, you know, someone or anoint somebody specifically and reveals to the person, this lady has released her faith for this. I want you to give it to her, you know, because there's a healing anointing. Gifts of healing, 1 Corinthians 12. Now I want you to minister it to her so she gets the answer to her prayer. You have believed, it shall. And then you get it right there. Do you understand that? Is it clear? All right. It has to be clear. It has to be clear. What many of us do, which we also do with doctors, is, oh, there's someone here, then throw away your faith and go, do it today, do it today. Amen. And then you throw away all the faith you had. No, apply the pressure of your wisdom. Follow James as he wrote. There is a pressure against your faith. There's a trial against your faith. Maintain joy. Maintain your patience, which is an application of what you believe. However, be open to what's the direction wisdom will have me take to get this thing to happen. If any of you lack wisdom, ask. You're standing in faith 3 months for the new job. The job isn't come yet. Father, there's something I need to know on this matter. There's a type of prayer that I value a lot. It's called the prayer of inquiry. And you find David praying it. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, amongst other places, the camp in Ziklag had been burnt up. And I think it's, you know, verse 7 now or something, 7 or 8, you know, 1 Samuel 30. And then David, you know, having, you know, his men thought of stoning him and everything. They all cried. They wanted to stone David. And David first encouraged himself in the Lord. And I want you to see this. Very important. Because it typifies, you know, what James is teaching us now. Let's see the sixth verse, please. You know, verse 6. David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons, for his daughter. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. So there's a trial on David's faith. James said, "What count it all joy when your faith is tried." David applied it here. I encourage myself in the Lord. Lord, you are grateful. You are good. You are good. I know it's not your will that our camp is burnt. It's not your will that our family is captured. You are good. You are good. You are good. This is not you. You didn't bring this upon me. So he's encouraging himself. James says, count it all joy. How do I rejoice when my car just got, how do I? You see the goodness of God. Paul says, in everything you give thanks. So I'm seeing, God, you are good. You didn't bring this sickness here. You didn't do this here. This is not you. This is not you. You are good. You are good. So David encouraged himself in the Lord. He was clearing his airwaves so that he could flow better. Did you get that now? So we go back to that first Samuel 30. And then verse 7, David now says, hey, we need to ask God in first Samuel 37. Thank you. So that, we'll see in good time. First Samuel 30 and then 7. Thank you. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, Abimelech's son, I pray you bring me here the ephod. And Abimelech brought the ephod to David. Now look at verse 8. Very, very important. So this is David now saying, I need wisdom. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue? These are warriors. They could have said, who took our family? Let's get up. Let's go. Should I pursue this troop? If I pursue, would I overtake? And the Lord said to him, pursue, overtake. So there is now a clear instruction, direction that we're able to take. Next, when we deal better with prayer, I'll show you a couple of other examples where David applied the same thing. I mean, sometimes you wonder, David, this is a no-brainer. Why are you praying about it? Then you see the answer God gives you, like, I see now. So I've had many people that have prophecy books. They have stuff written, stuff the Lord told them. Now, God could tell you something that happens like 20 years later. That has happened to me before. All right? But you're releasing your faith for something. It's taking 2, 3, 4, 5 months, 8 months. Nothing stops you from saying, Lord, if there's something I need to know about this, I'm open to it. I learned from Kenneth Copeland. Someone, they always went to a particular place. I think it was Colorado many years ago. For vacation, and then one friend of his there said, why don't you get property here? Real estate is really like horrible, property is low. So before the thing rises back by. So I said, well, I'm not interested. So the following year, the man sees, and I'm like, listen, it's worse now, it's lower than it was last year. Why don't you buy a couple of fields? I'm not interested. So maybe it happened 2 more years, or maybe it was the second one. And then I say, you know what? You're a man of your word, at least pray about it. Promise me you pray about it. Copeland said, I'll pray about it. And then Copeland went back home after vacation and said, all right, Lord, I promised this person I was going to pray about this. Okay, so let me at least pray. Lord, would you have me buy property? And Lord said, yeah. Copeland felt, why didn't you tell me? Lord said, you didn't ask. Are you open to certain things? Are you open to the instruction wisdom I give you? Because we could be applying faith. So hindrance to prayer, lack of joy, it drains your energy. You're just moody, sorrowful, it's hindering you. A lack of patience. You believe I received it. You're waiting for the thing, but then it's not coming again. And then you cast away your confidence, like Hebrews 10 said. Half of that stuff. So. You've let it go. But while you're rejoicing, while you're in faith and you're applying patience, and I believe it's mine, I believe it's mine, I believe. Thank you, Father. This is mine. I thank you because it's mine. And I thank you because anything I need to know, any insight I require is made available to me in the name of Jesus. You're bringing wisdom to give the direction. Jesus and his men needed to have the final supper. All right. He was going to have his last supper with them, like, we call it. And then wisdom. He didn't just, I'm sure he believed they would get a place. And wisdom said, all right, guys, go into the city. When you enter the city, you find a man carrying a jar. Follow him wherever he enters, that's the venue. That's wisdom working. Jesus and Peter get into the city. They need to pay tax. Hey, are you guys going to get to collect from citizens again? We're sons of the land. All right, Jesus told Peter, let's not argue with them. Do it. Go. So wisdom comes to direct it. go there. Go, get, catch a fish. There's money in its mouth. Number of years back, I was pastoring somewhere. I needed some money. I'd released my faith for it. I had an appointment. I was getting dressed to go out, and the Holy Ghost said, stay. I waited. About 20 minutes later, so I knocked on the door. He says hi. We talked for a little bit. And says, well, he just actually came to give me this. It was an envelope with money. I could have walked out of the house and then gone on to my appointment. And then at the end of the day, oh God, there's no money. Oh, well, anyway, I just keep going, Father, thank you. I believe I receive, I believe I receive. But he sent the money. They could be like, well, can God just send the money anywhere, meet you up anywhere? Yeah, he can. But when he also says, stay here, he told Elijah, go to the brook, Cherith. There were other brooks, Cherith. There, I commanded ravens to feed you. Couldn't he just say, ravens, find Elijah, feed Elijah? God can. But then he said, brook, Cherith. Then when the brook dried up, go to Zarephath. There's a specific widow. He could have gone anywhere else and missed the other widows. Or could have gone to Zarephath and found the wrong widow. But there's a specific widow. So wisdom knows the how. And many times our prayers are hindered, we're frustrated, we're tired because there's an absence of wisdom. Another word you might call it, insight or revelation. When you, this is the next step I'm supposed to take. Sometimes as simple as say hi to somebody. Send text and apologize. Mend that broken relationship. You do not know what wisdom will do through that person with you later. Mend that relationship. Hold, you don't know what it is. Follow the voice of wisdom, and you will continue to see the blessings of God. Is this clear? Is this clear? All right, I believe it's clear. Now, on this wisdom matter, you will now see. All right, you will now see that James 1:5 again. Thank you. And you will see. If any of you lack wisdom, he begins to teach faith again. Let him ask. Remember, one of the hindrances to faith is you didn't ask. Once again, guys, ask. If any lack wisdom, let him ask from God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it will be given to him. Once again, God doesn't want you shooting blanks. He wants you to be specific, ask, and he wants you to see when you get it. I mean, it's wisdom. Wisdom is what now? Like an idea, like how do you want to describe it? An intangible thing. But he says you will know when you get it. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask from God. Another issue here, I'm going to bring it in very soon. My very soon could be like after the next 3 points, okay? But what we're going to cover, I trust what I'm not rushing, you're getting it. And we will do prayer again. We'll just. Because we've learned that types of prayer. Many people don't even have prayers answered because we muddle up too many things. All right. We muddle up different types of prayer. There are many things about it, so we need to learn all of that. But we have enough time to cover a couple of important points here. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, all right, who gives to all men liberally. Many times, why we don't get answers to prayers, we don't understand the character of God. I've put it there. Just what's that thing? You pin it. We'll be back on. But just pin it. I've pinned it. Is so we're coming back. Many don't know the character of God. Let's see what now. TPT on this verse. You need to understand the character of God. Because when you are talking to someone, you need to know this is beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Are you ready? Please see. And if anyone longs to be wise, ask God for wisdom and he will give it. Watch this. He won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold you over your failures, but he will overwhelm your failures with his generous grace. Is anybody screaming where he or she is right now? This is beautiful. You need to understand the character of God. Many of us are too ashamed to say, I missed it. Oh, I'm not getting it. And then you're standing in faith. You've prayed about it. You believe you receive, you believe you receive, you believe. I know people many years ago. I mean, something happened on campus. They were, sent out of school, blah, blah, blah. I believe I see, I believe I see, I believe, I'm coming back to school. No, wisdom could just say, do another entrance exam and get back in. Do another entrance exam. All right. So you could say, I'm in faith. It's mine. And it is yours. You have received it. But in between what you receive, all right, or let me say this one. In between I believe I receive, and this is it now in my hand. From here, there's the leading of the Holy Spirit. Did you get that? I believe I receive a new house. I believe I receive a new job. I believe I receive a new car. I believe I'm getting married this year. Or at least I'm entering that God-ordained relationship this year. I believe it's mine. Every day you're rejoicing, you're using faith, you're using patience, you're using joy. It's mine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Wisdom now starts leading you. Go to that friend's wedding. I don't feel like going, but wisdom knows you're going to meet someone who is going to meet someone that meets someone that will meet the person who you get married to. He's just there. Or someone that you meet. Oh, so where do you work? I work here. Oh, you, I'm in between jobs. Oh, and they're looking for someone in my department. Should I, you know, send your resume tomorrow? Wisdom knows all that. So that's why you might, and wisdom, get up and go to that wedding right now. I don't feel like going. I've been at a wedding before. I didn't feel like going. I'm a homeboy. I just love to. But I'm grateful to God that that part of me hasn't allowed me to lose a number of opportunities. And I'd have lost some I'm not aware of, but I know some that I could have, but I didn't. And I went to this wedding. And 2 years later, almost 2 years, and someone, you know, we saw at the wedding. I drove the car I had there, you know, wasn't neat, wasn't nice, an old car and all of that. And then, hey, met people that, you know, passed us before. We all took a walk. Hey, car, someone then walked me off the mic. I didn't know he marked this young guy's mind. And he said to himself, I need to change his car. Took him over a year. And then he sent money for another 2 years later, almost about 2 years. But it was because I went to a wedding, I didn't feel like going to. Now, I mean, I wanted to, but, you know, travel out of town, distance. You know, when you just have that, I just feel like staying at home again today. I don't want to go anywhere. And I've seen that. I've seen that. Okay, I've seen that. All I'm saying is this. You're releasing your faith. You either go to the thing or the thing comes to you. But usually we seem to believe when I release my faith, that thing has to find its way wherever I am. Look for me. Elijah went to the brook. Elijah went to the widow. Jesus sent men to go get the donkey. He sent men to go to the city and find someone carrying a bowl of verse. And they followed. There's a time when the thing will come. There's a time where you are the one to go. It's wisdom that will determine that. Ecclesiastes says wisdom is profitable to direct. So wisdom gives direction to the power of faith. Jesus did his earthly ministry by wisdom. Put clay in this one's eye. All right, done. All right, tell that one to go show himself to the priest. All right, just speak a word over this one, lay hands. And then he's doing ministry by wisdom, by the leading of the Spirit, the guidance of God. Do you understand what I'm saying, please? So that we're not tired and then we're frustrated, but we can't, you know, we're too holy and righteous and, you know, and are pure and our words can never go wrong. So you don't want to say I'm frustrated, my faith is not working. You don't want to say, but you are. You are. Lord, is there something I'm missing? Show me. You've been on this faith mountain for 3 years, 2 years. God, is there something I am missing? Is there something I'm not getting? Is there something I'm not getting? Let's see that verse again, TPT. It's just beautiful. You know, James 1 and 5. Larry, hurry up. I believe you're getting blessed, all right? If anyone longs to be wise, you need insight on a matter. I don't think this is, you know, vague wisdom, because when you receive it, you need to know. If anyone longs to be wise, and like I said, it flows from verse 2. If anyone longs to be wise, ask God for wisdom and he will give it. He won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold you. See the stupid mistake you made. See where your life is right now. See, men do that. You must understand the character of your father. Men do that. I want to encourage you. Don't do that to people. Because we are the God they see. If we always have to harass them, no, God can always pick the pieces from where they are. We might not be able to promise them anything, but at least let them know, listen, God could always direct you from here to where you, from wherever. If you get lost in the wilderness, God will help you find a path. That's the character of God. He won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold you over your failures. He will overwhelm your failures with his generous grace. Let's see the Amplified, verse 5. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're being blessed, we're being blessed, we're being blessed. Thank you, Lord. This is beautiful. If any of you is deficient in wisdom, now listen, you're recreated, your spirit is filled with the wisdom of God, you're world to world, Holy Ghost. But you need it up here. You need to make an informed decision. You need that light bulb to turn on. If any of you is deficient in wisdom, specific, I need to know what to do on this matter. Let him ask of the giving God who gives to everyone, how, guys? Liberally and ungrudgingly. God will say, I led you 3 weeks ago, you didn't answer. I led you last week, you didn't listen. I sent 3 angels, you ignored them. You've come now, you will suffer. No. Now, there might be consequences because of the disobedience and all of that, but his fatherly love will reroute you. It might be the rough terrain you have to go through to get here, but rerouting you, he will reroute you. That's it. This is his word. All right. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because he is with me. He will guide me back with his rod and his staff. He will guide me back. If any of his deficient wisdom, let him ask of the giving God who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly without reproach or fault finding. And it will be given to you. We've overstressed this. Well, it can be overstressed. We've stressed it a bit today, so we need to move on. It can't be overstressed. The body of Christ needs to be taught this. Many do not understand the character of your Father. So when there are failings and shortcomings in our lives, we find it difficult to talk to our daddy. Get this verse. If you know anybody like that, text the verse to them. Text these versions to them. Let them know God is not fault-finding. God loves them. God cares about them. Let's understand the character of God. It builds confidence in prayer. I know who my dad is not finding fault. I know I made a mistake. Okay, he's not going to kill me. Because human beings can frustrate you over a fault. But your daddy will reroute you. And thank God men are not God, all right? So stay with your daddy. Flow with your daddy. And then just understand his character. All right, so he says, ask of God. Back to New King James, all right? Back to New King James. All right, thank you. So if any man lack wisdom, let him ask, you got to ask. Ask knowing the character of God. He gives freely, abundantly, lavishly, without reproach, and he will be given to him. Now watch verse 6. Hindrance to prayer. Let him ask in faith. So you could ask, but it's not in faith. Oh, did you pray about that thing? Yeah, how far? Yeah, so. No. Ask in faith. Mark 11, 24. Believe you receive. Watch this. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. What's it going? Verse 7. You need to read this thing and stare at it. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. This is big. Someone prayed to the Lord, and this verse says that person shouldn't think of getting anything from God. Why? Because of hindrances to the prayer. So we pray a lot. Let's pray. Pray about it. I know we should pray about it. They need to be taught. They need to be told. There are hindrances to prayer. All right? Let's see TPT verses 6 and 7 now, please. TPT 6 and 7. When you pray, we said that since yesterday, get something out of it, particularly if it's a prayer of faith. Just make sure you act empowered by confident faith without doubting that you receive. Don't doubt. Mark 11, 24, believe you receive. For the ambivalent person believes 1 minute and doubts the next. Being undecided makes you become like the rough seas driven and tossed by the wind. You are up 1 minute, tossed the next. Anybody feeling? Keep that on the screen. I need to read it a little bit. Does that describe you? Don't be condemned. You need to be taught what to do, and you're being taught what to do. So praise God. For the ambivalent person believes 1 minute, doubts the next minute. being undecided. If I don't get married this year, no problem. There's still next year there. Do you want to be married this year? Stay there. Maintain joy. Release your faith. Maintain patience. Get the wisdom to show you the inside on whatever steps you might have to take. And don't waver. It delays the process. It's like your file has gotten to where it will be attended to. Then you pull the file out again. I don't know if someone got that. Did you? You release your faith. Now the angels have as well moved the file to, they need to now stamp it, done. You now pull the file back. I'm not sure if that's what I want. I'm not sure. Okay, I'm sure again, put the file back. And then they put the file back. And then they want, pull out the file. I'm not sure if that's what I want. If I don't have it, it's okay. You know, God doesn't have to bother. I mean, like, no, God says, no, child, what do you want? Stick to what you want. Get it. Let your faith receive it and let your joy be full. All right? Please, you got to get this. All right? Become, you know, being undecided makes you become like the rough seas, driven and tossed by the wind. You are up 1 minute, tossed down the next. Next verse, verse 7 now. So just do 8. 8 is it. It is a knockout punch. Verse 7, please. Let's see verse 7. You know, just stay on TPT and then we'll do the 7th verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When you are half-hearted and wavering, like when you are half-hearted and wavering, it leaves you unstable. Can you really expect to receive anything from the Lord when you are in that condition? Right? It's a hindrance. Verse 8. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I mean, King James, verse 8, punches. The believer, verse 8, please. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. So TPT merged both. So let's go to verse 8, KJV. So TPT gets to merge verses together anyway. So yeah, we had read that in TPT already, what we want in verse 8. So look at KJV verse 8. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And there's a caution here. Undecidedness in an area, one area, ask for wisdom, could trickle into undecidedness or instability into other areas. He didn't say a double-minded man stable in some ways. He didn't say a double-minded man stable in that way. He said a double-minded man stable in all his ways. It's a knockout punch. Make up your mind. Decide what you want. Go for it. Listen, even if you want to change, get it. Let your faith work. See your faith produce. Then believe another one. What about that? Oh, thank you, Father. One verse. Write this down. No, let's stare at it. Luke chapter 137, please. Luke 137. I shouldn't, you know, we've spent a whole lot of time here. Please, this will be available to you tomorrow officially. Please watch again and again. Then you can pause, rewind, replay. You could do, I beg you. I know I'm spending time already on effectiveness of prayer, but the hindrance is already in it. And then in 2 weeks, we'll be back. We'll talk a lot more about praying effective prayers. All right. Watch this. For with God, nothing will be impossible. This is one verse you and I could meditate on. What seems impossible? Is it the marriage at this time? Is it the baby at this time? Is it the job at this time? Is it what? You could take these 2-3 days. You could take this 1 week and you have not released your faith yet. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Nothing. And that's all, child of God. This is all you are chewing on because the enemy will want to make you think you're not going to get that thing. When confidence is lost, it will knock the wind out of your sails. All right? We got to move quite a lot faster so that we don't run this into... Now, if we have to run this into 3 what up editions, I know it's fine, all right? But let's move on. So we said that you've got to be stable, you've got to believe, you got to do all that. So we read Philippians 4:6, so read it on our way, you know, to where we're going. So Philippians 4 and then verse 6. Philippians 4, 6. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right. Be anxious for nothing. All right. But in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let request be made to God. Amplify this. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amplified. Glory to God. Yeah. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Listen, even this still happened to me like lately. Will it happen? Will it not happen? Will it happen? Will it not happen? Will it happen? Will it not happen? Do not fret or have any anxiety. It's a command. This will hinder your prayer. So don't fret or have any anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, watch it, definite request. With thanksgiving, continue to make your request, to make your wants known to God. So I'm talking to God about it. I'm talking to God about it. But it says, what of that fear? What of that worry? What of that anxiety? Please, did you get that? 1 Peter 5 and 7. We touched it already. This is where we ended. So we're supposed to continue from here yesterday. 1 Peter 5 and 7. Amplified. Thank you. Please, whatever you might be doing right now, could you read this verse with me, please? 1, 2, can we go? Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately, and he cares about you watchfully. Could you read like 2 more times, please? Let's go. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and he cares about you watchfully. So you cast your cares on him. You cast your cares on him. You cast your cares on him. How do you cast a care? You throw it on him. You say, I refuse to care. And I'll tell you, you could throw a care on him as I see the care just jump back in another 3 minutes. Cast it and keep it cast. All right, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to worry. I refuse. And that thing is beating you up and down the head. But then you travel to Matthew, all right, chapter 6. Let's go to Matthew 6 and 25. Matthew 6, 25. We could do King James there. Matthew 6 and 25, King James. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Because this will hinder the operations of your faith. All right? If you're releasing faith and you're not supposed to doubt, worry will bring in the doubt. Because, yeah, will it happen? Will it not happen? Will it happen? And then your prayer says, don't doubt. Therefore, I say to you, take no thought for your life. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor for your body, what you will put on. Is not the life more than meat, nor the body more than raiment? Verse 26. The fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap. And this is a word song right now, all right? Yet your heavenly Father will feed them. Are you not much more than they? Let's keep going. 27. Which of you, by taking a thought, can add one cubit to his life? Which of you? Good question. You need to ask yourself again and again. So worry isn't going to help you. Worry is going to hinder you. Worry makes people sick. Sick in your stomach, sick in your head. You have pains all over. You don't know why. You're worrying. And it's not going to add to you. It likely is going to take from you. You won't be able to eat or sleep well. You won't be able to see properly or hear God properly. So David had to encourage himself in the Lord. And James said, count it all joy. So you and I have to resist worry. It will come, resist it. 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 All right. So there is a misconception of God. We're going to touch that. But I'm going to touch quickly self-righteousness. It's a hindrance to prayer. Luke 18 from verse 9. Self-righteousness. Just run through it quickly. We'll go to the 14th verse. Luke 18 from verse 9. You know, self-righteousness. And he spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. So was telling them a parable, destroying themselves. Two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, you know, God, I thank you that, you know, I'm not as, you know, the other people are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even this publican, pointed, you know, to the right, the other guy. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not even lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote himself on the breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Now 14, Jesus says here, I tell you, this man, you know, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself will be abased, and he that humbles himself will be exalted. Now, God is not asking you, the new creation, now to say, oh God, merciful to me, a sinner. But he's saying you don't approach prayer from a point of your righteousness. So self-righteousness is a hindrance to prayer. Oh, God, you know, and then people get mad. You know, God, how come that new believer got healed? I know how she's still living her life. God, me, I've still been sick right here. We behave like the prodigal, you know, son's elder brother. And then we start harassing God. You know, you didn't even give me any goat to kill my friends. And then this, your rascally brother, your son just came and then dream about it. And then we get mad at God. You're trying to enter prayer based on righteousness. Ephesians chapter 2 and then verse 8, please. Ephesians 2, 8. It's on a plain ground, okay, of the love of God, of the word of God. So you don't say, well, I've been in church, I've been serving in this church since these new sisters are coming in and then they're getting husbands. I've been here for a while. Why don't I have a husband? Go to the word. All your needs are met in the word. Your years of service, they are great. God rewards them, but they are not the platform upon which you now come to harass God. No. Ephesians 2 and 8, please. Ephesians 2 and 8. For you are saved by grace through faith. It's not of yourself. It is a gift of God. You are saved. So how do you get your salvation? And your salvation here is a total package. It's faith. Grace did it. Faith took it. Grace made it available. And then we heard about it. What faith now says, I receive in Jesus' name. Now see the ninth verse. It's so just clear in English. Not of works, let any man should boast. You know, not of works, let any man should boast. Our good works are good. All right, we're not saved by good works, but having been saved, we're expected to do good works. Okay, so there are things we're expected to do. However, you don't approach the Father, as it were, on the basis of those. You come to Him in the name of Jesus. Whatever I ask the Father in my name, not in your self-righteousness. And unconsciously, we kind of like think we're better than some people. Oh, maybe you pray more, maybe this more, maybe that more. And you'll say, well. No, the prayer is still on the basis of the name of Jesus. Our access to prayer was provided for by the blood of Jesus, not by our works. So self-righteousness hinders the effectiveness of prayer. Do you understand that? So there's self-righteousness, but then there's sin consciousness. Sin consciousness, a hindrance of prayer. So 1 Peter chapter 3 and then the 12th verse. Sin consciousness, 1 Peter 3:12. I mean, There are two angles, 1 Peter 3:12, so I'll quickly show them to you. 1 Peter 3:12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, if you don't know who you are in Christ Jesus, all right, you would not see that, oh, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, so I'm righteous, so I can pray. You know, or maybe you did something really nasty, and then you're reading the verse, and the enemy goes, do you think that verse is for you? So there's a sin consciousness and it affects, don't forget 5:14, this is the confidence that we have. Whatever affects your confidence, it affects your faith. It knocks. I've ever been in a worship session and then you go, oh, I worship you. And I just remember something you did wrong. And then your hands will start coming down. The song will start slowing up, you know, your hands drop, you know, the songs, you know, just fade. Because sin consciousness will set in. You start feeling unworthy. I'm not supposed to be singing to God right now. I just messed up. Why should I be the one singing to Him? But your Father wants to hear your voice. I mean, should I just behave like I didn't do anything wrong? No, if you did something wrong, tell me you did something wrong and get over it. Tell him you did something wrong. Lord, I messed up. I know I messed up. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry about it. I messed up. All right? And then lift your hands. Glory to God. And just... it takes faith to do that. It does. But sin consciousness will hinder your prayer. So when you read a verse like we just saw, chapter 3 and 12, the eyes of the Lord are, but this will let you know that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open to their prayer. So if I'm righteous, then God's eyes are on me and his ears are open to my prayer. And don't forget what James in chapter 5 says. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He didn't say the prayer of a spiritual giant availeth much. The prayer of a righteous man. So if you're righteous in Christ Jesus, then your prayers avail much. Did you get that? Thank you. Confess your faults to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Sometimes you think, well, if I get 10 million people to pray, it will be answered. Sometimes 10 million people could be 10 million confusions. Everybody's praying one day, say that way, one, bind it, God, cast it, God. God, loose it. Oh, God, don't let it go. God, everybody's coming at it from different angles. But the prayer of a righteous man, you need to start having confidence in your prayer life. The prayer of a righteous man, all right? Remember that verse. I'm going to mention it in a short while. First John 3 and then the 19th verse of 1 John 3. When confidence is affected, prayer is affected. 1 John 3:19. Glory to God. Watch this, please. And hereby we know that we are of the truth. Watch this. And shall assure our hearts before him. We know we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Now look at the 20th verse. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and he knows all things. So this affects confidence. It's sin consciousness. If our heart condemn us, notice it didn't say God condemns you, because God doesn't. You're in Christ. So there's therefore now no condemnation. Oh, but I did something wrong. He still is not condemning you. He corrects you. He, you know, tells you that was wrong. But God is not condemning you. But then your heart condemns you. And then it affects the prayer. Okay? If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. And God knows all things. Now, the 21st verse. So beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful verse. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence before God. Did you get that again? So once you're able to deal with that condemnation that you feel in your heart, your confidence is back. You were in worship and then your hand was dropping and then remembered, I told my daddy, I'm sorry. I don't feel like he's forgiving me, but I walk by faith and not by sight. And his word says he has given unto me forgiveness of sin. So I thank you, Father, for your everlasting love. Thank you because you're not holding this against me. Thank you in the name. And then your hand can come back up. And the devil goes, I was just about to mess up a worship session. Devil, you came too late. That lady has been taught the word. Not so that she now can just run around and mess up, but so that she can defeat you. Anybody helped by that? The devil would always want to make you feel bad. And then your unrenewed mind, untaught mind, will bring condemnation to you. But beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence. And when there's confidence in prayer, child of God, you can fly in it. You can fly. So we said there is self-righteousness, but then there is sin consciousness. Remind yourself you are the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. You have to know. You have to be sure. Don't forget, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, I sought for a man that was standing. You are the man. You are the righteous person. 2 Corinthians 5, 21, please. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. For he had made him, that's Jesus, to be sin. God made Jesus to be sin for us. Who knew no sin? Jesus didn't know any sin. Jesus did not commit any sin, but God made him to be sin. All of us agree on that verse, or at least that part of the verse. But the next part says that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Did you get that? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So if he was made sin for us, then you and I have been made the righteousness of God. Now, this is not righteousness by what you do. This is righteousness by you were made it. You were made. You were born again righteous. And the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do you want to write on your notebook or your tab or somewhere, my prayers avail much. The prayers of a righteous man. Every great minister of the gospel, you know today that you value their prayer lives and all of that. They began by exercising faith in their own prayers. If you don't start developing faith in your own prayer, you would eventually not develop that strong confidence in it. The prayers of a righteous man avail it much. The heartfelt prayers, all right, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avail it much. I am that righteous person in Christ. It means my prayer will avail much. Have faith in it. Have faith in it. And then begin to use your faith like a servant, like we saw in Luke 17. Send it out. It goes to come back, send it again. It goes to come back, send it again. It goes to come back, send it again. Keep exercising your faith. Exercise your faith. And he said, oh, I prayed for this and I got it. Oh, then I prayed for this and I got it. Oh, then I prayed for this and I got it. And glory to God, your faith becomes more and more effective. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we've dealt with wavering, all right? A double-minded man is unstable. And then you're unstable. I want it. Maybe I really don't want it. Maybe I want it. I could wait. If it doesn't come, I can hold on. My God, you don't have to bother us. I don't know. You're wavering. You drop your file. They want to stamp you. Pull the file out. You push your file in. They want to stamp you. Push the file out. Leave your file there. Stop doing, because a double-minded man is unstable. I mentioned this yesterday. It's important to note it. Matthew 18:19. It's about the prayer of agreement, and we quote it a lot. Hey, two of you shall agree as touching anything. Hey, come on, let's agree. Question is, are you really in agreement? Matthew 18 and 19. Are you really in agreement with the person who you're in agreement with? Are you really in agreement? And I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it will be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. So it's a prayer of agreement. But the key there is they have to agree. If two of you shall agree. If two of you shall agree. So one person says, oh, agree with me. I believe for a job with this amount of salary. And person goes, okay, let's pray. And then you're praying. The person goes, isn't that salary too much for her? All right? And you're doing it, and the person's moving by emotion. Amen. Amen. I agree. But the person goes, isn't that? The person's not in agreement with you, honey. There's no agreement. All right, you go to a hostel or you want to pray for a sick friend, family member, let's agree. So maybe you shouldn't agree. Maybe you should just say, I pray for you in the name of Jesus, you are healed. But when you say, I want to agree, you bring yourself on a yoking level with the person where the prayer is concerned. It is a prayer of agreement. Two of you shall agree. So you can't be praying for someone and say, I agree with you, I join faith with you, you're healed in Jesus' name. And person go, you know, I mean, even if I'm sick like this for 3 days, okay, let me even rest my body. You are not in agreement. Do you understand that? So it's not enough to pray. All we've been learning from yesterday is we don't have to move in the motions of prayer. All right? Don't just go through the motions of prayer. Don't just jump in and all of that. One, and I'm glad we're able to address this today. The use of if in prayer. It's one thing that has destroyed the prayers of a lot of people. If it is your will, you don't use that in prayer. All right? I understand what I'm saying now, actually. But you know what? Remove that statement from prayer. Remove it first. When you now need it, you could bring it in. It is not needed in prayer. Why? 1 John 5 and 14 again. If you ask anything according to his will, so it is your responsibility to find out the will of God and to pray according to his will. So you don't go, God, heal her. If it is your will, you just messed up the whole thing. Is it not the will of God to heal the person? You need to ask according to his will. So what is his will? God, let's go and pray. No. There's some wills you don't pray about. Right? In fact, the will of God is in the word of God. So you're not praying about the will. You might now, like I taught you on wisdom, now pray about how to go about applying it. That's a completely different context. But God's will for you is prosperity. God's will for you is health. All right? And wellness. God's will for you is long life. God's will for you is a happy home. God's will. So all of that is the will of God for you. So you have to go into the Bible and find the will of God. So you don't say, well, God, if it is your will, let me have, you know, finances and let me be able to meet my needs. No, the Lord wants to supply your needs. The Lord is your shepherd. You will not lack. God makes all grace abound towards you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was poor, yet he became, you know, though he was rich, rather, right? He became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Let them shout for joy that favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually, the Lord has pleasure in the prosperity of his people. Christ redeemed us from the curse, so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the. I mean, there are enough to assure your financial prosperity. Even blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Hey, boy, it's spiritual. It'll translate and affect you in everything that concerns you. So the will of God is financial prosperity. Yes, they will touch the will of God on health. We looked at Matthew chapter 8. God's will for you is health. I pray above all things you prosper, be in health, even as you so. So it is the will of God. So you don't come and say, oh God, if it's your will, moves a lot of people to that place of wavering that we dealt with in James chapter 1. They become uncertain. They are not sure. They are not sure. The only applicable area, if it's your will, comes in, will be in the prayer of consecration, where the will of God is still not so certain. Let's read how Jesus prayed it. Because every time we say, but Jesus said it, how did he pray? All right. So in Matthew 26 from verse 36, see how he said it. See how he prayed it. So if this is where we're going to end today, we're good, right? All right. I'm glad we're able to touch this one. Then Jesus came, then come at Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I go yonder to pray. So it's a prayer. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy, So there's a disturbance going on within him. And of course, you know why. Then he said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry here, watch with me, all right? And then we go further. And he went in a little further, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, watch, please follow. O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. The prayer is not over. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. So he's praying about the will of God. He's submitting himself to the will of God. Watch this. He knows the will of God. But there's a trouble in his soul about, we've come to this point. I have to drink this cup. God, isn't it possible to let it pass? But you know what? I didn't come here to do my will. I came to do your will. So the prayer still ended with submission to the will of God. But then he had to still pray out that agony. So that's why he was spending about 1 hour each to pray. I mean, he had to tell the guys, can't you watch with me for 1 hour? So this is a prayer of consecration. Then he came to his disciples and finds them sleeping. And he said, couldn't you watch with me for 1 hour? So likely he had prayed an hour. I said, couldn't you even do an hour with me? And then we could read this down, let's read 41 and then 42. All right. Watch and pray, all right, that you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing indeed. Flesh is weak. Now 42. He went again away second time and prayed. Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. He didn't have that. If it's your will, let it happen. If it's not your will, no. See the transition in the prayer. If it's possible for this cup to pass from me, let it pass. But not my will. Your will be done. Then he went a second time. He now said, Dad, if this cup won't pass except I drink it, that's wrong. That's how Jesus prayed this prayer. How he prays, God, if it's your will, let it happen. If it's not your will, let it not. So we throw it out and say we pray. We didn't pray. So we say, God, if it is your will, heal her. If it's your will, heal me. And then and this is the sad part, very, very sad. We're very pious about it. Oh, God, I'm just submitted to your will for my life. If it is your will, heal me. God, heal me. If it's your will for me to die like this, I'm okay. I take it. It's sad. It's touching. Because many people have died that way. Because their faith didn't have the confidence and the energy to know the will of God and to fight the fight of faith. They thought they were submitting, someone dies and we say to total submission to the will of God. What if the person didn't die according to the will of God? Please understand me. I'm not trying to be insensitive. But we just put everything to, you know, to the will of God. Sometimes we die out of disobedience, out of, you know, many things, many, many things. Many, many, many things. But we end with, you know, total submission to the will of God. Maybe not. The will of God is long life. The will of God is abundance and prosperity. The will of God, all right, is that souls are saved. The will of all of that is the will of God. So we must be well enlightened, well taught to know this is the will of God. But when it's that I'm sensing something, God might have me be a missionary. God might have me, and I'm not clear about it. Lord, I'm open to whatever it is you have me do. If being a missionary is your will, I'm open to your will. If that's your will for my life, let's go. I'm open to your will. If it's your will, there's when to bring it in. And it's usually the prayer of consecration, the prayer of commitment. If this is your will, I submit to it. Let's see that 42nd verse again. I want you to see how Jesus ended that prayer, please. In that Matthew 26 and then 42. How did Jesus end the prayer? He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup will not pass away from me, except I drink it, your will be done." Someone hurts you and God says, "Forgive." God, no, no, no. And then you get to a point of consecration that I'm having so much unease inside me. If that's all I have to do right now is get this uneasy thing. Lay your will. So it's not like I will be done. No, you are stepping into going to do the will. It's action time. And if you remember, he finished praying, they were sleeping, he woke them up and said, "Guys, let's go, it's time." He prayed this and jumped into action. Remember Jesus. This is where we picked it from, and then we'll try to use it. But he prayed, he ended up, you know, submitting himself to the will, which he knew from the beginning that this is what will happen. But then there was trouble in the application. We've come to the point of applying this right now. Dad, can we, is there a plan B about this? Is there, and he didn't walk away from prayer saying, maybe, maybe. No. In that place of prayer, is there a plan B? And he's agonizing. Agonizing. There's no plan B. You know there's no plan B. This is it. This is what we came here for. This is it. There's no plan B. And then he's voicing out, if there's not a thing but to drink this thing. I think it's Luke. Let me find that. We can quickly find that. I think it's Luke. I mean, he got through praying that, and then angels just showed up to strengthen him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, so we're in Matthew, right? 26. Let me check, Luke. Yeah, Luke 22. Oh. Gabriel, thank you. Actually, I just chilled, right? I just kept on talking, you know. All right, so let's go to the verse before that. The verse before that. Yeah, watch this. Saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." So he was praying, and then if there's no other way, I have to be a missionary to Africa. I don't want to have to be traveling and leaving home. And then, but if I have to, Lord, let your will be. He came out of prayer saying that. And what's the next verse? Thank you. Verse 43. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Jesus didn't pray, "If it is your will," and then, "Que sera, sera, whatever will be, I've asked the Father." No. So that's why I said, you know what? Remove "if it is your will" from your prayer list. Bring it in only when necessary. But you don't use it for a prayer of faith. You don't use it for your almost everyday prayer. You don't use it for confession. You're supposed to say to the mountain, "Be removed and be cast into the sea." You don't say, "God, I've said to the mountain, if it is your will, let it." No, 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 no. You speak to that thing. It has to obey you, Jesus said in Mark 11, 23. It has to obey you. But I'm speaking, it's not obeying me. Then you step back. Wisdom. Is there something I need to know? And God might say, you're facing the wrong mountain. God might tell you that you're facing the wrong mountain. I mean, Ken Copeland, you know, his mom, you know, got around up soon. His mom wasn't, you know, feeling well, and he got to the hospital, prayed, and then he said, well, God, she's still here. And God said, you were told she had pneumonia and all of that. You prayed and you released a healing anointing, and then pneumonia is gone. He said, well, why is she here? God said, wear and tear. And then God told him that your faith for healing would not work on wear and tear. Oh. So God took him to Psalm 103. He fills my mouth with good things and renews my youth like the eagles. God said, that's the one for wear and tear. She needs renewal. She's experienced wear and tear in her body. She's overworked herself. And anybody get in there? Because he released his faith. And then the pneumonia left. So God said, you released healing. Sickness left. But this now is wear and tear, wear and tear, wear and tear. So God showed him the verse. So when you speak to the mountain, if it looks like I'm speaking, I'm standing, and, you know, thank you. I'm there, I'm aggressive about this. If it's not moving, Lord, is there an insight on this thing? Because it has to move. I don't want this in my life. I don't want this in my home. I don't want this in my family. I don't want this. I refuse it in Jesus' name. You maintain your faith. You maintain patience. You maintain your joy. You maintain all of that. But then you're open to insight. Is there something I need to see about this? Something I need to see. God says, no, everything is fine. Just stay steady. Stay steady, child of God. Stay steady. Weeks, months, stay steady, praising God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Whew, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody blessed? Anybody blessed today? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah to Jesus. We got to run. So in 2 weeks' time, we will now talk about praying effective prayers. We've laid some very good foundation right now. Very, 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 very good foundation right now. And then we need to now move to praying effective prayers. We've not touched all kinds of prayer. Ephesians 6 and 18 says praying, you know, all kinds of prayer, right, in the spirit. So there are many kinds of prayer. How do we fit them in? What works? What doesn't work? What are simple but important things about prayer? That's one book I need to write. That is one book I need to write. Simple but important things about prayer. Interestingly, you know, when we finish that word teaching, that word of word teaching, I said, Larry, this is a book right here. This is a book right here. You know, so this whole prayer thing right now, so it looks like a book right now. You know, so, but simple but important things about prayer. I planned that, okay, just could be one, you know, very small mini book that will be a blessing. You know, and educate and help people. So 2 weeks' time, you already have. So date will be what now? Date will be 12th and 13th of March, all right? But you get all that in the emails. Please check your spam mail. Check every mail available. Just check. Just check, all right? Thank you, all right? Thanks for always joining in. Thanks for always being here. I believe you've been blessed. I believe your time has been well spent. I believe you've had an amazing time learning. Let me know. Please send an email. You could send, you know, what you learned and just send to worduptoday@gmail.com. Just let's know. I'd like to hear from you. Seriously. I'd like to read something. All right. Let's know how you applied it, how it worked for you. And if you want to drop a comment on your way out, oh, sure. Feel free. Do that. But we'll meet again. Please share this video. Once you get it tomorrow, you're going to get it. Let the video go out. Let it bless somebody. Let it inspire someone. Let it just share the video. Share your notes also. Do what slides, WhatsApp, story. Just share something to bless somebody. Let them really get blessed. Thank you once again for joining in. Enjoy a fruitful season, an abundant season. You know, just enjoy moments of revelation upon revelation, right? That this will help your fellowship with God a great deal. You'd enjoy more intimate moments of fellowship. Your faith life will be stronger. It will be stronger. And as Jesus was strengthened by an angel, that we would enjoy angelic ministrations, angelic operations, angelic manifestations in all that we do. Thank you, dear Father. Thank you, dear Father. Your will is our delight, Father. We delight to do your will. We're strengthened to do your will. Your will is what we do, is what we do, is what we do, is what we do. Thank you for my brothers and sisters right here. Those who might watch this later, thank you because we're strengthened in every single way. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. All right, thank you.